Luke chapter 2, the miracles of Christmas. Let's just read the first 7 verses here. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the miracles of Christmas. And Lord, miraculous miracles everywhere surrounding the birth of the Savior. And Lord, this is the time of year, Lord, where, you know, I saw by the reaction of many people in here that maybe they're in need of a miracle. Lord, you never know what's going on in people's lives. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, Lord, it may be something small, maybe something really big that they just need right now. So as we're reminded of the miracles of Christmas, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would do what needs to be done in each of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So many miracles surrounding Jesus. These you know. But let me hit the highlights of the miracle of the virgin birth, which, by the way, that's amazing. You realize that's something that has only happened once in human history. And you talk about something that is absolutely scientifically, biologically impossible, and yet God did it. And the angel appears to Mary. We talked about hit her extraordinary faith last Sunday morning. God appears to her, and is told about what God is going to do, and he's going to overshadow her. And then the angel appears to Joseph after he hears that Mary is expecting, and here God's working in her heart, God's working in his heart. And whether or not anybody else understood, and I'm sure there were some that believed it and supported them, I think the vast majority of people didn't believe it and thought probably ill of them, maybe both of them. But we know this, that God did a miracle there. And interesting, Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So the miracle of the virgin birth. That's one of the major doctrines of the Bible. That's something, folks, that we shouldn't surrender ever, ever, when some of the translations of the Bibles, you know, sometimes people ask about which version of the Bible. Well, some of the translations have changed the word virgin to a young lady or a young woman. Well, I'm going to tell you, they just took out a major, important, miraculous doctrine of the Bible. And so that's an important thing. Be careful. Check your Bibles. There's a reason we use the King James Bible. I think it's the preserved words of God. I know people come in, sometimes new folks, and they've got different versions. All I would say is check it out. Make sure that the doctrines of the Bible haven't been changed in an effort to make it more readable. And so the miracle of the virgin birth. And then in Luke chapter 2, we see the miracle of the angelic announcement. And that begins down in verse 8, where we stopped in verse 7. But let's look at verse 8. And there, we're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. So you picture this, you kind of break it down. And first of all, a single angel appears unto them in verse 9 and came upon them. And then the glory of the Lord shone round about them. You talk about light in the middle of a dark night. You know, can you imagine something like that? Here they are in the darkness. The sheep are down for the night. Shepherds are on patrol, on watch. And they're looking up and all they see is the stars. And then all of a sudden this bright light comes upon them. And you can see where they would be sore afraid then. Verse 10, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there's this single angel makes this amazing announcement about Jesus, the Lord, Christ the Lord coming, and calls him a Savior, a Savior. So right away we see that by what the names that the angels used tells us of the mission. We'll talk a little bit about, I'm gonna preach on the name of Jesus this morning, the importance of that name. And so he uses Savior here. And then they say this, and this shall be a sign unto you, he says this, the single angel, this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly. And so that means, suddenly means all of a sudden, there was one angel, and that was amazing enough. And the brightness of that angel, and the light in the darkness, the light in the darkness. You think some of this had some meaning, some purpose in it, in the announcement of Christ and light coming through darkness. And suddenly, so now there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I don't know, maybe I'll develop this message next year, but I was actually late at night last night kind of pondering this verse. And, you know, when you hear this announcement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, the next word says peace, and on earth peace. And then, you know what, man, from a earthly viewpoint, it's kind of like, where's the peace? Since Christ came, even during the time he was here, tell me where there's peace. And if you historically look around the globe, during the time Christ was here and since the time Christ, there's been turmoil, there's been wars, there's been rumors of wars, there's been catastrophes. And here's the thing, folks, we could take a look at that and think, well, first of all, he will come one day and set up a millennial reign, and there will be peace. But when I thought about that, I thought it wasn't that God was going to use this coming of Christ, come on, the next one he will, this coming of Christ, to end all wars and to rule and reign with a rod of iron, as he will one day. But I thought to myself, I think the peace he was talking about was in here. You know, the availability of peace, because no matter what, I was talking about, you know, we don't know what's going on in people's lives, and sometimes me and Cheryl's lives have been characterized for a time with what we would call turmoil and testings. And I mean, but yet, no matter what is happening around us, you know what? We can have peace within us. And that's something the world doesn't understand. You're never going to understand it till you receive Christ. But, you know, Christians just don't react. I mean, once we kind of grow and know the Bible enough, we just don't react the way the world reacts. You know, we've got Romans 8:28. We've got verses that help us to know that, you know what, if God is allowing this, he's allowing it for a time. He's got purposes. He's got lessons to learn. He's going to be with us. He's going to see us through it. Come on, I've been saved for over, 55 years now. I've been saved for over 55 years. I think next year it'll be 60 years I've been saved. You know, folks, listen to me. Just trust God. Okay, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. And so anyway, I was meditating on that because I thought, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There's not a lot of goodwill towards men. There doesn't seem to be a lot of peace, but that's where we as Christians come in and we can make a difference. It came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us go now even to the Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So the miracle of the angelic birth. I like this one, the miracle of Bethlehem's star. And that's such an amazing story. I've preached an entire message on five lessons from Bethlehem's star. But you know, think about the miracle of that. Here these wise men are somewhere in the region of Babylon, probably from Persia. And you know what? They're studying the writings of Daniel, and there's enough in that for them to know that they have a window, a time frame, not an exact day, but a little bit of a time frame where God is going to send the Messiah. And they study the Bible, and these men, like I said, that was from a whole different area comes to Jerusalem. And then Jerusalem they become aware of it. And then they get into the Bible themselves, and they start figuring it out. But for God to take a star, I'm more of a night owl than I am a rooster, okay? I do better late at night than I do in the mornings. I do my best work, honestly, after most people are in bed. I like the quiet of it. Doug Castle, no, it wasn't Doug. Who was it? Let's tell me this. It wasn't Doug Castle. Who was that? Let's tell me that they're just opposite. They get up early in the morning before anything stirring, and they get their stuff done then. And it takes me about 2 hours to get my brain awake and about a pot of coffee. And so I'm not the morning guy, but I'm the late night man. I've always loved the nighttime. I've loved to walk out of our place sometimes right before we go to bed, just to go out and check on some things, and then just stand there and look up into the heavens. And you stare up at all those stars, and can you imagine, you know, these men saw the stars, studied the stars, and all of a sudden God says to, the Bible says, for we have seen his star in the east, his star. And he just said to one of his stars, hey, I need you to do something, and commands him, the star. And can you imagine that? The miracle of that. And this star, they follow it. And then I think at some point it seems like they lose track of it, or God takes that sign away, gets them close enough to Jerusalem. They ask for help. We talked about all this. And then as they continue towards Bethlehem, the star reappears and they rejoice. And what a miracle. I think about this. It's like God just surrounded his son's coming with miracles. You know, those that choose not to believe in Christ, you think of all the things. We've been studying the book of John. Those in chapter 6 that kind of revealed who they really were and why they were following Christ, and motives were discovered. And it's like, and all of a sudden they say to Jesus, well, show us a sign. And yet he's been showing them signs all along. And so the miracle of Bethlehem's star. And then I like this, the miracle of divine protection. You know, we see way back, think about this, in Revelation chapter 12. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with the Christmas story? Revelation chapter 12. It's kind of a parenthetical chapter. It tells a little bit about a history perspective of what's happening in the last days and why it's happening. But I'll read you the first four verses. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars, representing Israel, nation of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And listen, this is what I want to get to. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And we see that come to pass. We see that in the story of Herod and his attempt to try to kill Jesus as a small child. And then you think about how God protected them. He protected the protection of an expectant mother, the protection of against a wicked earthly king. You know, when Herod had, and then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when he hath found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. That's not what he wanted to do. And note, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. The protection against a mass murder. We know the story, how that then Herod sent the soldiers to the area of Bethlehem, that area of Judea, and slew all of the children that were 2 years old and under. And by the way, fulfillment, this is what the Bible says, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not. And yet God miraculously protects the Christ child. And I mentioned this a little bit about Joseph, I think, last week, but He was a man of instant obedience, immediate obedience. And when the angel of the Lord came and said, go to Egypt, you know what? He could have stood and, I'm sure, argued with the Lord and given a dozen reasons why this wasn't a good time. Or, you know what he did? He arose and he went. And I want to once again say to the men of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what? Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. You don't know how you may be protecting your family or your wife. Or your home. Just obey the Lord. And if he speaks to your heart, do what he says. So the miracles of that, you know, virgin birth, angelic announcement, Bethlehem star. Seems like the whole thing is surrounded with miracles. A miracle of divine protection. And we see God moving in this way. An angel, once again, is used to warn Joseph. And protection against this earthly king. I've got a whole list of these, but I like this to remind us of this about every Christmas. The miracles of Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. And let me kind of just go through them with you because, and this isn't everything, but this will give you some. The miracle of Old Testament prophecies fulfilled. Now, this is one of the most fascinating things about the birth of Christ. 742 years before the first Christmas, the virgin birth was prophesied. Okay, the whole idea of a virgin birth is just, what? And yet 742 years in Isaiah, before the first Christmas, before Christ was born, we read this in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 13, 14. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, and meaning God with us. We see that repeated in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is said to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, that was said 742 years before it happened. 710 years before the first Christmas, the city of his birth was pinpointed. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, which is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. So think about that. You've got the virgin birth prophesied. You've got the birth of the location, the exact town. 740 years before the first Christmas, the divine nature of his birth was predicted. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Oh, Israel should have known. Had they known the scriptures, they should have known. You know, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And yet, in the scriptures, they had all of the evidences that they needed, and yet they missed it. They missed it. 712 years before his birth, the purpose of his coming was foretold in Isaiah 53. Don't you love Isaiah 53? Amen. I think it's one of the Amen. Most amazing prophetic chapters. You'll learn more about you could lead a Jewish man who rejected the New Testament. You could go to Isaiah 53, and if it opened his heart, he could receive Christ as his Savior. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the Lord? Arm of the Lord revealed, for he hath grown up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, think about it. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Substitutionary atonement. I mean, there it is. Everything that they need to know and need to understand, but they missed it. Isaiah 53:12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. How he was to die. We're not talking about prophecies about his death. We're kind of focused on how he was supposed to die. And who he would die with was pinpointed in the Old Testament. The miracle of a God-man sent to die for us, folks, it couldn't be more plain. Not only the birth of Christ is surrounded by miracles, but his life, his death, his resurrection, his eternal existence at the right hand of the Father. I mean, all of these are clearly laid out in the Old Testament scriptures. John, the beloved, penned these words after the death of Christ. Think about this. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus Christ was brought to this earth in a miraculous way. While he was on earth, he performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Folks, everything about his death and resurrection, I think the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest miracle of the Bible. And yet, it doesn't stop there. The miracles that he performed during his post-resurrection ministry, disciples up in a room, doors locked, fearful, and all of a sudden Jesus appears there for them to follow him up on Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives, 120 of them, listen to his last instruction, then watch the ascension. You know, we can't say that Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his miraculous ministry at the right hand of the Father. We can't say that this is not our Savior surrounded by miracles. Jesus wants to do a miracle for you. This is where I'm going to end. We're going to get done a little early because Brother Bud's got things. By the way, pray for Brother Bud. Let's pray for the choir. We'll do that when we close here. And pray for the kids. You're going to get to watch the kids sing. That's fun. But, folks, I don't know. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you need. But you say, preacher, honestly, I need a Christmas miracle. And if you do, you know what? Trust in the Lord. Ask God for it. Ask God for it. He still performs miracles today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for, Lord, just going over these teachings that surround the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, the predictions, Old Testament predictions, all that happened on the night of his birth. And then later on, the miracle of the star and the arrival of the wise men, and then an entire life of miracles. Lord, I pray, dear God, that our faith is increased as we see the miracles of your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Oh, we'll pray for the choir, Lord. Bless Brother Bud, dear God, and bless the choir members, Lord. And pray, dear God, for the children, Lord. And just pray, dear God, that you would use the cantata to stir our hearts. And Lord, to speak maybe to that one that comes in today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.